You ever just need a sip of soda on a warm day, but they make you buy a whole 20-ounce bottle? That principle is costing the healthcare system billions of dollars. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A big report out today from the BMJ, formerly known as the British Medical Journal, shows how patients, insurance companies, and the federal government are on track to spend about $3 billion this year on cancer drugs that will be thrown away. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports that drug makers, hospitals, and doctors are profiting from the way these drugs are packaged.
Dr. Leonard Saltz sits in his office at Memorial Sloan Kettering in Manhattan, a leading cancer center.
So this is a box that contained a vial of Keytruda at 100 milligrams, about the size of a small salt shaker. So this would cost approximately $5,000, a little bit over.
Keytruda is part of a new wave of promising oncology drugs. It mobilizes your immune system to fight the cancer for you.
There's no question that this is a drug we want to have available for our patients.
But Merck packages this valuable drug in only one size in the U.S., 100 milligrams. The typical patient needs 150, which means half of the second vial is thrown away.
It's going to cost in excess of $5,000 to have a situation where each time you treat the patient, you may need to put half of it in the trash.
Saltz, one of the study's authors, says at this rate, Merck is in line to be paid more than $1 billion over the next 5 years for leftover drugs that aren't used. The report names Eli Lilly, Genentech, Amgen, and Bristol-Myers Squibb, among others, that package top-selling cancer drugs in a limited variety of sizes that causes waste.
We don't stumble across areas very often where we can be 100% confident patients are not benefiting.
Dr. Peter Bach is lead author of the report. He says companies are taking advantage of ambiguous, if not contradictory, regulations on packaging size. Using Keytruda as an example, Bach says while Merck makes the 100-milligram doses here, the company says 50-milligram doses in European countries.
Serious thought is going into how big the vials should be. And these are highly skilled, sophisticated companies who understand the sources of their revenues.
Bach says drug companies could either produce a variety of dose sizes or refund the cost of leftover drug. Nearly half a dozen drug manufacturers declined comment for this story. In a statement, Amgen said offering additional vial options is misguided and threatens patient safety. Merck said it's moving to a fixed-dose 200-milligram size that will eliminate wastage. The report's other point, hospitals and doctors, which resell these drugs to patients, are also profiting from the waste. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And what are these headlines today about domestic oil and gas producers starting to cut production? Just starting? Oil prices have been collapsing for 20 months now. To help us puzzle this out, let's turn to Julie Neiman, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, who has a special focus on the energy industry. Morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
I thought we've been cutting production for a year and a half now once the oil price collapsed, but no?
They've been promising they were going to cut back because the economics behind it are not supporting it. But the actual production cuts have not been coming until very recently. So right now they're looking at maybe pushing between 5 and 6% production cuts this year, which certainly is not enough to take care of any kind of glut. The biggest contrast is that you still have OPEC producing at full tilt, more than offsetting any kind of production cuts we're going to do.
But we've been doing this coverage of these distressed domestic oil producers in the U.S. that are having financial trouble. They haven't cut back?
We've got about 175 firms that are probably going to go bankrupt in the very near term. And right now they're producing as much as they can to pay what debt issues that they have out there. It's the old accounting thing that you lose on every sale but make it up in volume. It just doesn't make any sense, but they're doing it as a pre-bankruptcy dance that you're looking at. So this is going to continue to push the glut even higher.
All right. Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company. Thank you very much.
You bet.
After years with seatbelts, anti-lock brakes, and stability control making it so much safer to drive, a sharp reversal. There was a spike in traffic deaths last year, due in part to drivers distracted by their mobile devices. This week, billionaire investor Warren Buffett, whose company owns Geico Insurance, warned that this is cutting into profits and has a terrible human cost. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The National Safety Council says motor vehicle deaths were up 8% from 2014 to 2015, the biggest year-to-year increase in 50 years, says the council's Deborah Trombley. She says if you're talking hands-free or voice texting, you may not be looking at the road.
What drivers actually do is look at the dashboard because that's what they're talking to.
And Trombley says drivers may still be distracted even if their eyes are on the road while they're talking to their dashboard.
You can be looking right through the windshield, but not see red lights. They don't see stop signs.
Trombley says there are other reasons accidents are up. With the improving economy, more of us have jobs to drive to. We're also driving more because gas is cheap. Michael Berry is a spokesman with the Insurance Information Institute. He says all of that is showing up in insurance claims.
Severity's up, frequency's up, and that eventually finds its way into the cost of auto insurance.
Berry says car insurance premiums were up 5% in 2015. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And as voters press their buttons behind the drapes on this Super Tuesday, a look at the future, the author Kurt Vonnegut once told me what this country needs is a secretary of the future, somebody in the cabinet to look at the effect of policy on future generations. Turns out many big companies already have one. They call them chief sustainability officer. We did a piece about this. But what you could also do is tweet suggestions for what a U.S. secretary of the future should keep an eye on, if we ever get one. Hashtag Secretary Future. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.